Today's podcast is brought to you by Balance 7. Save $10 plus free shipping this week only with code HOWIE10 at balance7.com. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up, named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. Anthony Blinken is going to be answering some questions today about the withdrawal from Afghanistan. The botched withdrawal, I should say. So we will keep you posted on that. It's supposed to start at 2, but if he's running on Biden time, we might have to clock him in at, 4 or 5 o'clock tonight. But we will be listening to that, pulling sound, and, of course, giving you all the latest updates. I want to talk here, though, about these federal mandates for the vaccine. I had thrown out the question in the first hour, and it seems like people really enjoy talking about this, probably because everyone can relate to it. You either have maybe your kid can't go back to college until they're vaccinated, or your company's telling you to get vaccinated. And I think there is a good slice of this country that is vaccinated and still is very angered by the idea of these mandates. I follow a lot of people like Carol Markowitz on Twitter and people like Ben Shapiro who have no problem with the vaccines, who are very pro-vaccine, but they have a big problem with where this type of authoritarian diktats, where it could be heading. You have to be able to see beyond right now. And when we look at 9/11, we were discussing how we're at the 20th anniversary. That's a very good example because people were very afraid after, for good reason, for obvious reason. And I remember all of the conversations about wiretapping and listening in on phone calls. And I remember as a little kid in 5th, 6th, 7th grade thinking, well, if you're not a terrorist, why do you care if someone listens into your phone calls? Or why do you care if the government listens in if you're not doing anything wrong? That was my mindset as a little kid. But there were people like Tucker Carlson and people, a lot of libertarians specifically, who said, you have to see beyond this. You have to see how this starts and where it could go. You have to think worst case scenario if people don't do what they're supposed to do, if people aren't honest, if people, as humans are, get greedy or have malice intent, how this could be a bad thing. And that's, to bring it back to the vaccine mandates, that is where we're at now. It's easy for me to say, yeah, I get it because it's a pain. I want to go on my honeymoon. I don't want to have to go to a doctor's office every single day and get a test or whatever this country is going to make me do. But I'm glad there are people who aren't going with the path of least resistance, who aren't just throwing their hands up and saying, eh, you know, I'll do this. And because the truth is that for so long we've been told, do this, do that, do 15 days and then do this and then stay home and then wear a mask and then and all in this pursuit of and then we'll give all of your rights back and then we'll give all of your freedoms back and then we'll go back to normal if you just do this one more thing. And we should have never, ever bought into that because once the government, and I don't want to sound like a conspiracy theorist, but once these power-hungry tyrants in our government knew that we'd go for it once, it was the 15 days, once they knew, all right, these people will go for this if we scare them, if we tell them they have to do it or else, once they knew, that was it, game over. And we have to try to reverse that now. And what a lot of people pointed out when this first started happening was, you know, there might come a time, and I don't even know if there will now because this has dragged on for so long. But at the beginning of this, when we were only a few months in, someone had made a comment about, you know, we will eventually forget about this specific period. You know, it will, we'll look back on it and remember things about it, but it will fade into the background. But our government will never forget how we folded. You know, they'll always have that in the forefront of their minds, that there's a lot of sheep out there. There's a sad amount of sheep out there. And I think that when you listen to people who make a broader argument about why these vaccine mandates are so dangerous, it really does open your eyes. 603, I'm getting a lot of texts today. And if you want to text in, you just use code CURLY. You send that to 63566 and you're entered into my text line. 603 says, my wife threatened to divorce me if I didn't get it. Today I go and got my second shot. Needless to say, she won. 508 says, I heard this morning that House and Senate staff were exempt from the vaccine. I'll double check that. I cannot confirm that. But I think that it makes sense. I don't fault anybody. I just told you guys the honest truth, which is a lot of times I'd fold. I'd say, hey, you know, I don't want to get fired or whatever. Or I don't want to get divorced if someone was threatening me with a divorce if I didn't get vaccinated. You understand how people have a point where everybody gets worn out. You know, I actually wrote about this for Spectator, and I encourage everyone to check that out at spectatorworld.com. But I said, you know, even the independent spirited Americans, and that's why we're the envy of the world, is because we have that rebellious, independent, freedom loving nature. But eventually people get tired. Eventually, even Americans can get beaten down and can fold. And hats off to all the people who aren't doing that. Let's go to Vito. You're next with Grace and the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Vito. Vito, hold on, Vito. We'll put Vito on hold. Vito, try to fix your connection a little bit. We'll go back to you. Let's go to Eddie. Eddie, you're next with Grace and the Grace Curley Show.
Yeah, Grace, thanks for taking my call. I'm a pretty big sports fan. I watch a lot of sports, right? And you're right. People have disregarded this because 16 NFL games, 75,000 people in that stadium last night. I see it all the time, college, everything. Nobody's wearing masks. They're not asking for proof of vaccination to get into these places, right?
Right.
And people are sitting right next to each other. And they just have disregarded this thing. So now they want arbitrary for schools, arbitrary for this. You know, it's a bunch of hooby.
Yeah, well, Eddie, I'm glad you brought up the NFL because that was actually the first thing. I hadn't seen Howie since Thursday. I talked to him a little bit over the weekend about columns and stuff. But the first thing he said to me when I walked in this morning was, did you watch the Patriots game? You guys know Howie's, you know, he watches sports occasionally. But the most I saw him into the NFL was when Marty Walsh, or Walsh Marty, whatever Biden's calling him today, specifically asked us not to have Patriots parties. That was the most passionate I ever saw Howie about gathering to watch a game. So when he said to me today, did you watch the Patriots game? I'm like, yeah, I watched Bits and Pizzas. I wanted to see Mac Jones. I heard he's a very handsome guy. So I wanted to see if I could be as passionate about this quarterback as I was about the last one. But not really. I was, you know, back and forth watching it. And I said, why? And Howie said, because nobody was wearing a mask. Nobody. He goes, I thought maybe 20, 30% might be, but nobody was. And you know how that makes me feel, everyone? I want to tell you right now how it makes me feel. It makes me feel happy. I'm happy to see that. I'm happy to see that even some Patriots fans and everybody else, everybody's getting a little bit more normal. Everybody's remembering what it used to be like. Good. In Kansas City, again, no masks. There was a lot of games where you didn't see any masks. And that's the way it should be. That is the way it should be. We have a vaccine. I don't know why I feel like I'm announcing it to half the world. We have a vaccine. This is what you told us we were waiting for. Vito, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Vito.
Hi. Yeah, I think there's two groups of people that say they don't want it and will quit their jobs. I think one group are the ones that don't like being told what to do, and I'm seeing them cave just from getting worn out, like you say. But then there's those that have experienced true vaccine injury, that to themselves or their kids. And I think those are the ones that would truly not get this through and through.
Yeah, and you're probably right, Vito, but I want to go back to the first group you just mentioned, which is people who don't like to be told what to do, because I feel like I have a very, very good sense of those kind of people. And a perfect example of this is actually my fiance, who is, I don't talk about him a lot on the air. He's a very private person, but he's lovely. He's charming and nice, and he listens to people, and he'll hear your opinion and whatever. But one thing he does not like is being told what to do. He doesn't like someone telling him, you don't have any other options. So I was talking to him about getting the vaccine, and I was writing a column about why certain people don't want to get it in the different groups. And there's some people who have conspiracy theories about vaccines and the government and microchips, and those people you're never going to convince. But it's people like my fiance who I was thinking, you're the kind of person that Joe Biden and the administration are trying to convince. So I said to him, what would it take for them to convince you? I'm trying to get in the mind of, like, if I was Joe Biden, what would it take to convince you to get the vaccine? And I don't care if he gets it or not. And he said to me, to be honest with you, I probably would have gotten it by now if they all weren't yelling at me to get it. And that was exactly what Biden did last week. At the end of the week, he gave a speech and he old man yelled at people and he made people feel like they were in trouble and that he was telling them what to do. And there was a doctor on Fox who said the exact same thing that Will said. She said, Joe Biden is not helping our cause by yelling at people and by villainizing people and by telling them that if they don't get vaccinated, they're putting vaccinated people at risk, because just by that concept, you're diminishing the quality of the vaccine. If you're telling people you have to get it because you're going to get other people who are vaccinated sick, right there, you're telling people the vaccine doesn't work, which I believe it does. But I thought it was so interesting to hear someone say, I probably would have already gotten it if they weren't in my face yelling at me to get it. That's human nature, you know? You get more bees with honey. You get more bees with reason and with just being nice to people and being understanding. But Joe Biden, who's one of the most corrupt people in the world, screaming at Americans and telling them they have to do it or else, is not going to work. At least I don't think. I could be wrong. Thank you for the call, Vito. I really appreciate it. We'll be back with more of your calls. And I'm going to read you the piece that Libby Evans is going to be discussing at 1:30. Very, very interesting piece about authoritarianism and how we get there and how it's not as black and white as you might think. It can creep in very slowly. Now, before we do that, though, I have to talk to Jared about something. Jared, we love the thunderstorm, and I don't think we even realized, you know, we've talked about it before. Jared uses it for his allergies. I use it in my house to clear the air after I cook a steak or chicken. But last week, we put this thing to the test because Howie Carr came in with something I never heard of, fish cakes.
Yes, some uncategorized cake of fish.
And he decided, in true Howie Carr form, to microwave those fish cakes, which goes against all of the tips you read about office etiquette. I mean, microwaving
fish.
Goes
against nature, let's be honest.
Yeah.
It's a crime against humanity, if we're being serious.
But he did it, and he was proud of it, and it stunk up the whole office. All we had to do was turn on the thunderstorm, though, and it was gone within like 10 minutes.
Yes, that ionized air was a lifesaver. So you just plug it into a wall outlet, you turn it on, and it sends out those ions, it ionizes the air, and that creates a super oxygen, which doesn't just cover up the smell of fish cakes. It actually eliminates the particles, eliminates the odor of the fish cakes, and it is gone. It smells just like after a thunderstorm. If you walked outside this morning, that's what it smells like.
Absolutely, and you can save $200 on an Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-Pack. You'll get 3 units for under $200, and you'll save $200. All you have to do is go to EdenPureDeals.com, click on my name, and put in code word GRACE3 to save $200 for their special 3-Pack. That's EdenPureDeals.com. Click on my name and use code word GRACE3. We will be back on the other side with more of your calls, 844-500-4242. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley.
Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. We'll take your calls, but I just want to give you a quick summary here of what Libby Emmons is coming on to discuss at 1:30. She says, we have given up too much already, yet we continue to give up more. The president has declared that every American must undergo medical treatment or be barred from earning a living or participating in public life. We sit down and nod our heads and accept it. Why? Do we truly believe that we can give up our rights and still retain freedom? Are we as stupid as the pundits believe us to be? Or are we simply blind to the fact that America is not immune to authoritarianism? The power wielded by authoritarians does not begin with violence and weapon guns. It is near invisible at first. That power is instead implemented through commanding a civilian force of enforcers, Karens, who enact the will of the government by shaming those who resist. Karens, hall monitors. You all know someone who does this. Who adhere to new norms that prohibit free thought and free movement, Brian Stelter, and disparage anyone who does not submit, Joe Scarborough. The federal government is working hard to compel citizens to enforce the will of the government on each other, and their efforts are working. In America, individuals who do not comply with government authority over their most basic freedoms are shunned. Americans are facilitating the undermining of our natural rights. We must stand up for our rights. We must refuse to comply. Whether you believe that the government's message in and itself to get vaccinated, for example, is right or wrong is not the point. The point is that the federal government is seizing power over individual rights, over states' rights, and they must not be allowed to do it. You could write millions of think pieces about whether or not you should get vaccinated. Or whether I think people should, but or whether or not it's right to do this. But you have to look at this as what this could lead to. And we're going to talk to Libby Emmons about that in the next segment. Let's go to Donna. You're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Donna.
Hi, Grace. How are you today?
I'm good. Oh, thank you very much, Donna. What's going on?
So this Saturday, September 11th, Johanny Rosario, one of the soldiers that were killed in Afghanistan, was brought home from Logan Airport through the town of Lawrence. And I just want to say there were thousands of people there. The town did a great job. They handed out giant American flags, and the streets were lined. It was an honor to be there and give her a dignified welcome home. And tomorrow, Tuesday, in Lawrence as well, there will be a public service for people. They can look it up. But I encourage parents to bring their children to it, to teach them about patriotism and how to pay your respect to the soldiers that gave their lives for our freedom.
Absolutely. Well,
you know, with all the kids at the football games yelling the F Biden, I think we should clean it up. I've printed bumper stickers that say Joe's got to go. I'd rather hear them chanting that. And I don't know. I just think that it's an opportunity to bring your kids and teach them something in a positive way.
Yes, I would agree, Donna. And I would actually agree with you on the bleep Biden chants as well. I think it's a little bit classless. Joe's got to go sounds good to me, though. I would agree with that sentiment. And you're right. I mean, you know, the craziest part is that a lot of people over the weekend were putting up great videos, you know, patriotic videos. One of them, I think, was Sammy Sosa, and he was running around the baseball field with an American flag, and he was just booking it around, and everyone was going wild. And someone on my Twitter feed retweeted it and said, the craziest part about this is it used to be very commonplace to unabashedly love your country. And now we all look at it like, wow, look at that. 20 years ago, that was some crazy stuff. It used to be a very regular thing to be proud to be an American and to be very open about it, even if you were a beautiful person or a public figure. Let's go to Paul. You're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Paul.
Hey, Grace. How you doing today? Thank you for taking my call.
Of course.
You know, I think two things. I think everybody's got to stop blaming Biden and or Trump. And we have to stop blaming ourselves, because ultimately we are the reason that that there is a swamp here in the United States. We continue to vote Republican or Democrat no matter what. And the Republican Party is no better than the Democrat Party. They both stink. You know, and they're both out for themselves. They don't give a damn about you or me.
Yeah.
And how our lives are. They don't care. Yet we continue to vote for these people.
Yeah, and
Ted,
you know,
he was a lifetime senator here in Massachusetts. What a joke. The man killed a woman.
Yeah, and you know what, Paul, it makes me think of, and not to sound corny, but there's this old expression when it comes to relationships, and it's you get the love you think you deserve. You know, what you accept is what you're going to get, and you're right. We've elected people, especially in Massachusetts. We deserve this. I mean, look who we've elected. Great point, Paul. I appreciate it. Libby Emmons from the Post Millennial is coming up next, and I cannot wait to talk to her about these vaccine mandates. Don't go anywhere. It's the Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
In an infectious disease outbreak, getting vaccinated is not a personal choice. It's not. It's something that we do for the community. In an infectious disease outbreak, your personal choice ends where my right not to get killed by an infectious disease begins. So we have these collective actions for the good of the community.
There's a lot wrong with that statement from Cheryl Stolberg, a New York Times health reporter, but I want to mention that that disease or the virus that she thinks is going to kill her has a 99.97% recovery rate or survivability rate, however you want to put that. I mean, this is a virus that a lot of people have survived. So this kind of hyperbolic talk is insane. But we were just talking about these vaccine mandates, and I actually just got a message here from Cheryl on Facebook, and she said, I just have to tell you, I was listening to your show just now, and your boyfriend said that he probably wouldn't have gotten the vaccine by now. He probably would have gotten the vaccine by now if he wasn't being pushed so hard. That is exactly how I feel. I work in a nursing home, and I couldn't deal with the pushing, the insulting, the belittling, and the discrimination. It's too bad. I love my job and I love what I did, but I couldn't deal with the BS. I think a lot of people feel this way. I think they've really turned off a lot of people by this kind of authoritarian way they're going about this and making us feel like we don't have a choice. Now, the piece I just read to you guys before the last break is in the Post Millennial. It's by Libby Emmons. And the part of this that really stuck out to me is when she talks about how the power wielded by authoritarians does not begin with violence. It is near invisible at first. Libby, thank you so much for joining the show today.
Thanks so much. Glad to be here.
Let's talk a little bit about this, because when people talk about these vaccine mandates, I mean, there's all of this garbage talk on, you know, Morning Joe and all of these places about how you need to do it for one another and you need to do it so I don't get sick and you need to protect me. But let's get to the root of this. Why do you think that mandating this is so dangerous?
I think it's dangerous for a couple of reasons, not the least of which is that it's not the federal government's responsibility to determine what medical treatments I should or should not undergo. And I think that's important for, you know, in the first place. The second issue I have, and I've been very outspoken about this, is with the requirement to prove it. So that's another issue, is that to participate in public life, it's not enough that we get vaccinated. Further, we have to prove that we've been vaccinated. The government certainly doesn't trust us to be honest, you know, just as we don't trust them at this point to be honest. So that's another issue. I also feel that it undermines Americans' liberty and, you know, freedom of choice, if you will, and ability to make decisions for themselves, to have this paternalistic overreach into our daily lives. The president is clear over and over again. He has said that it's his job to protect Americans, and it's just not. It's his job to protect our rights and to defend our rights, but it's not his job to protect us either from one another or from viruses. This virus, the vaccines against this virus have been compared in lots of cases to other vaccines that we've had for other kinds of viruses. Those viruses have a much higher death rate, is one thing about them. And also, once you're inoculated against most of these viruses, including polio, which I think takes four rounds that pretty much all happen before the age of six, you're not required to get vaccinated over and over again in order to maintain an immunity. I'm certainly not a doctor, and I would never give medical advice to anyone, but these are coronaviruses, right? This is a coronavirus. This is like a the same kind of virus that colds are from, and we don't have cures for that either. Like, it's just, there's a level of hubris here.
That Joe Biden thinks,
those are my big reasons.
I think those are excellent reasons, and you're right. It's not Joe Biden's job to protect us all. People you know, that's part of life, is that you go out there, you take risks every single day. And I hate to break this to people, but Joe Biden walking around eating ice cream and wearing his mask is not going to be the one to save you from anything. But another part of this, Libby, I found very interesting, and it really does sound very familiar right now with the world we live in. You said the power wielded by authoritarians does not begin with violence and weapons and guns. That power is instead implemented through commanding a civilian force of enforcers. Force of enforcers. That to me, and correct me if I'm wrong here, that sounds like the modern day Karens in America.
It sure does. And it also sounds an awful lot like those who would tattletale on their neighbors behind the Iron Curtain and would, you know, tell the Communist Party that certain people were misbehaving. This is not uncommon in the course of human history that neighbors should be shaming each other into compliance and submission with authority. We've seen it over and over again. I don't know how we're missing it now. You know, Kafka wrote about this. Vaclav Havel wrote about this. Alexander Solzhenitsyn wrote about this. Representative McClintock from California gave a speech or, you know, comments before Congress, and he said, a government that has seized the power to order you to submit to medical procedures against your physician's advice and your own best judgment is a government that has no boundaries left. And we're seeing that, right? There are no boundaries left because the government is not, it's not telling individuals you have to get vaccinated. It's telling employers that they must be the force to compel citizens and employees to get vaccinated. It's very similar to, we see this, you know, pro-life bill in Texas, which personally I'm pro-life, but the structure of this bill is that citizens are meant to inform on one another. And I don't think that a government that can't enforce its laws, that requires citizens to shame each other and coerce each other and compel one another based on, you know, adherence to these new and unconstitutional social norms, is acting in the best interest of the people at all.
Yeah, and there's another part of this that reminds me of when there was all these investigations into Donald Trump, and I'll tell you why. Howie Carr, my boss, Libby, he used to always say that if it can happen to Donald Trump, who's a billionaire president, it can happen to any of you. You know, if we stop going by right and wrong and what's constitutional and what's lawful, they can use that against anyone, especially if they're using it against one of the most powerful people in the world. What's going to stop them from using these same tactics on you? And you mentioned this in your piece in the Postmillennial, where you say, you know, whether or not you think getting vaccinated is right or wrong, that's not the point. In other words, people need to be able to look at this from a broader scope and not just say, well, I think people should get vaccinated, so I don't care if the government overreaches. No, you have to care if the government overreaches, because right now it's about vaccines, but tomorrow it might be about something that you don't think is right. And then you have nothing left to stand on.
That's exactly right. And this is just one of many crises that the federal government is going to use to enforce their will on the American people. This is just the first one, right? We've seen so many other things declared a public health crisis, and that's what they're selling us on. Oh, it's for public health, for the greater good. They've said that racism is a public health crisis. So what are we going to do to force citizens to comply with whatever ridiculous mandates they have regarding that? They've said that climate change is a public health crisis. You know, they want to take our, I just got a car, and they want to take it away already. You know what I'm saying? Like, what else is it going to be that, what other crises are there? And the way that we react to this crisis, with our hair on fire, running around like crazy people, is the way that we're going to continue to react. And the thing about a crisis is, a lot of times, you know, I know people like this in my personal life, they're faced with a crisis, and suddenly none of the rules of normalcy apply. They figure, now we're in, you know, uncharted territory, so everything is up in the air. You know, there's no cause to behave normally. In fact, when we're in a crisis, that's when we have to stick even harder to what we know is right. That's when we have to even more dig into our principles and uphold them. It's when we have to keep our heads the coolest and the calmest, is when we're in a crisis, because the way that we behave in a crisis will certainly not stop there. Look at what we did with September 11th and the overreach in terms of warrantless searches of our telecommunications records, the Patriot Act. The Department of Homeland Security was formed after that, and that mostly spends its time now, or at least they say that their biggest threat is, you know, domestic terrorism and white supremacy. This as the government is bringing hundreds of thousands of Afghan refugees into the country without even vetting them. So what else are we going to do in the name of a crisis? And how much are we going to put up with in terms of the eradication of our civil liberties? That's the most important thing. And one thing that I think is important to remember is, you know, and I'm probably an American exceptionalist here, this is the United States of America. We have a Bill of Rights. These are sacrosanct. These are based on our natural rights given by God. If we let these go, if we let down our guard in protecting our rights and our liberties, the world itself has no shot at freedom, at liberation, at any of these things. We're seeing in Africa vaccine mandates where, you know, you're not allowed to access banking information in your bank account if you're not vaccinated. And we're seeing China as our rival, who is more authoritarian than we could possibly fathom. And this is what we're letting ourselves in for, frankly. And I don't think that's too much of an overstatement.
No, I would agree with you, Libby. And I just thought of 1,000 quotes while you were talking, because I think you hit on so many great points. But the last one I thought of was the famous Ronald Reagan quote, which is, if we lose freedom here, there's no place to escape to. This is the last stand on earth. And it's true. It's really scary.
I feel that way living in New York, and I'm seeing all these people saying that they're never going to move to Texas because of the pro-life law, and I'm like, oh, good, okay, good. There's one place left in the country that's, you know, free. You know, you're in Massachusetts.
Well, Libby, I'm glad you brought up New York. I'm glad you brought up New York, because obviously I'm sure, I know you're such a proud New Yorker. For people who don't know, Libby writes for the Post Millennial. She lives in New York, but and at one point, Libby, you said it's the only place that ever felt like home to you is New York City. And you're really thinking about leaving because of how horrible it's become. But one thing I wanted to ask you about, Libby, is that this was an emotional weekend for the country, but especially for New Yorkers. And there's been a lot of comparisons thrown about, and from everyone, from people on, you know, Morning Joe, on Twitter, even George Bush, people are trying to equate 9/11 with January 6th. And I want to give you an opportunity as someone who is so proud to be from New York and knows what this horrible anniversary means to so many people, to kind of comment on that. Do you find that comparison is as disgraceful as I do?
Yes, I do think it's amazingly disgraceful. More than 3,000 people were killed by terrorists wielding commercial jets as bombs on September 11th, 2001. There is nothing even remotely similar to that in, you know, January 6th of this year, when one woman was shot to death by a police officer. And that was the, you know, extent of the fatal violence. It's absolutely absurd to believe that Americans who were dissatisfied with the electoral process to the point where they took their protest to the Capitol, as so many people do, not to defend the, you know, running inside or what have you. You know, I think it goes without saying that they went quite overboard on that. But there's absolutely no comparison to be made to terrorists who decided to destroy symbols of freedom and democracy and capitalism in New York City 20 years ago. There's nothing even remotely like that.
Libby,
it's a shocking comparison.
No, it absolutely is. We're thinking about everyone in New York City and in New York and in this country right now. And hopefully people keep watching the footage and keep reminding themselves that this is not, these two things are not the same, and we shouldn't have to explain it to anyone. I mean, it's so basic, but it's serious people, as Jonathan Carl would say, who are spewing this absolute garbage. Libby Emmons, you guys can follow her on Twitter, at Libby Emmons. She writes for the Post Millennial. She writes for a ton of different places, but you can check them all out on her Twitter. She reposts all these stories, and this one is particularly exceptional. Libby, thank you so much for joining the Grace Curley Show, as always.
Thanks so much, Grace. Appreciate it.
All right. When we get back, we'll be talking more about this. And the number is 844-500-4242. I also want to talk a little bit about that drone attack that happened. It happened right after the suicide bombing at the Kabul airport. The Biden administration, they might have made a mistake here. And surprisingly, some of the articles that are coming out are from Biden supporting left-wing rags, but they're even reporting that that attack, the drone attack was a bad idea and it killed a lot of innocent people. And we'll look into that a little bit when we get back from the break. 844-500-4242, a lot more to get to. I also want to have a little bit of a segment about Joe Manchin, because I feel like the way Bernie Sanders and AOC talk about Joe Manchin, you'd think they were in the driver's seat. And what they don't realize is you guys should be being a little bit nicer to Joe Manchin. He actually is wielding more power in this situation than you are. I know that might come as a shock to AOC, the congresswoman from New York, but Joe Manchin is actually in the driver's seat here. Thank God. Never thought I'd be saying that, but thank God. 844-500-4242. We'll take a ton more calls after the break. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Grace Curley. She's here for the love.
Would I rather be feared or loved? Easy, both. I want people to be afraid of how much they love me.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Grace Curley Show. Today's poll question is brought to you by Fairway Financial. Preparation and planning is the key to your retirement future. Visit fairwayfinancial.net. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Will you quit your job if they require you to get the vaccine?
No. If I'm being completely honest and not trying to sound like I'm tougher than I am, I would say no.
52% say no to 48% who say yes.
Martha, you're next with Grace on The Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Martha.
Hi, Grace. Thanks for taking my call. I wanted to comment on what you and Libby were just discussing about equating 9/11 with the riot at the Capitol on January 6th. And I had a different interpretation of what I heard people saying. And that was that people were remarking about how after 9/11, the country came together and all sides or most sides seemed to be in unity. And they contrasted that with where we are today, with everyone being so tribal and in their own camps, and to the point where the election's not accepted and people didn't just protest at the Capitol. I mean, they violently protested at the Capitol. And one person was killed, and law enforcement officers were severely injured. So I don't think they were saying that 9/11 and the Capitol were the same thing. I mean, obviously.
Okay, well, Martha, hold on. And I appreciate your point. And if that's the comparison they were trying to make, I would say that it's inappropriate to begin with. Or if that's the point they're trying to make. But I would like to play you cut four. This is Jonathan Capehart from PBS. You know, we'll play it on the other side. We don't have time, Martha. But there were a lot of people who made comparisons or said that MAGA people were more dangerous than the terrorists. So while I appreciate your point, I would beg to differ. We'll be back with more. Stay on the line on the other side. Don't go anywhere. This is The Grace Curley Show.